Hey, what's up, New Life Church? Hey, welcome back to another Sunday service online. Thanks for joining us in this way. Hey, I just want to say hello to everybody watching from home, everybody who's there being careful. Hey, I'm praying that you are safe, praying that you are well. We are having in-person services Sundays, 10 a.m., New Life Church. But for those of you that are at home, man, we miss you. We love you. Thanks for coming and worshiping with us in this way. Of course, we invite you to continue to worship with us in your giving. And so thank you for your generosity. There's many ways to give at New Life Church. You can always give online and set up reoccurring giving, or you can even send it in the mail to 1803 East Vale Avenue, or you can even text to give. However you choose to give, just want to say a big thank you for sowing that seed. And also, if you're watching this today, maybe for the first time or we've not met yet, I ask you to do one thing for me. Would you just text the word connect to the number on your screen, and our team will send you a digital form, because we just want to know you're watching. So tell us who you are, and we want to know that you're watching, and we want to give you some great next steps you can take in your faith walk with Jesus. All right, well, I want to jump right into it today. This is the part four of our series, The Third Person. And so this is the last message of this series. And this is a series on the Holy Spirit. And in the first week, we talked about the Holy Who, that the Holy Spirit, he is the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. And we talked about that there is three baptisms that God wants for every person. He wants for every person to be saved and to be found in Christ, and then to be follow Jesus in obedience and water baptism. And then there's a third experience, a third separate experience, and which is what we're talking about today, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's for every believer. And last week we talked about this very idea that the Holy Spirit is for power, and that the Holy Spirit it gives you power for witness. So the Holy Spirit is not about a style of church, like some people have asked in the past, like, hey, you part of one of those Holy Spirit churches? You know, like, I know what they're saying, but that's not what the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to give you power for the mission, which is that everybody would be saved, that people would find hope, and lives would be transformed by the love of God. That's so the Holy Spirit gives the church power to do that. Also, it gives us boldness. We looked at the life of Peter, that Peter, before the Holy Spirit, he couldn't stand for his faith in front of a little girl. But Peter afterwards, man, he was a rock. He was strong. So it gives us power for boldness. So it moves us from being people that are worried and weak to bold and brave. So I don't know about you, but as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, I need that kind of boldness in my life. And it gives us power for righteous living, to not gratify the desires of our sinful nature, but be empowered to live rightly. And so how do you know that you're progressing in your faith? How do you know that you're living life by the Spirit? Well, we check for fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, there's nine fruits of the Spirit. And so that should be alive in the church. It should be alive in the lives of the believer. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to do that. So today, I want to talk about this being filled. And that when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit in you. It was called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But there is another experience for every believer, which is to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it felt like this. If I were to take a glass and I would fill that glass with water, that's like when you got saved. But if I were to take that same glass and fill it with water and put it in a pool, that's like being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being completely saturated to overflowing. That's what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's an experience for every single believer. So the followers of Jesus, they were initially first filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now, a lot of times, you know, people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, or churches that practice being filled with the Holy Spirit in the way we see in chapter 2 of Acts, there are a lot of times they're labeled as Pentecostals. And so when we talk about Pentecost or Pentecostals, you know, sometimes people get kind of uncertain, kind of like, I don't know how I feel about all of that. And listen, I get that, because the Holy Spirit's been taught on for many, 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 many years. And over the course of time, man's tradition has got in, church tradition has gotten in, religiosity has gotten in, and that's none of that is what we're exploring. We're looking at Scripture. We're saying, God, what do you have for us? What does the Holy Spirit have for us? Because I don't know about you, but I want the real thing. I don't want tradition of man. I want the real thing. And so Pentecost is actually a Jewish holiday, also known as, a.k.a., the Feast of Weeks. And you can read about this in the book of Leviticus. And it all went back to when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and there was a Jewish holiday established called Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers that were there. So Pentecost, literally, penta, it just means 50. So because Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. So this is 50 days after Passover, and so that's what the word Pentecost means. So many times, the Pentecost, when we talk about that, people get really uncertain. People get afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about Pentecost, because it literally just means 50. That's it. Nothing scary about that. So when people ask me, hey, Devin, are you a Pentecostal? I tell them, no, not yet. I'm only 34 years old. So it just means 50. But being Pentecostal just simply is referring to this event in Acts chapter 2 that took place on the day of Pentecost. So people label in all kinds of different ways. I'm not here to label it with any type of word or phrase or Pentecostal. I'm not here to label it. We're just here to say, God, we want the real thing. We want to experience you in your fullness. Now, so over the course of time, God had established for himself places where you could find God. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the dwelling place of God. Now, when you go back in the Old Testament, you see that there was a tabernacle. And the tabernacle, it literally means the dwelling place. But if you go back even before that, in the time of Abraham, remember God called Abraham and to go and follow him, and to that God had a promise for Abraham that he'd be a great nation. Well, Abraham, he came from a place called Ur. And these people that Abraham was a part of, they were a bunch of sun worshipers and moon worshipers. And so to Abraham, God was always up, okay? So I want you to remember this, okay? So in Abraham's time, where was God? Well, God was up. Well, then Moses came along, and he decided that God needed a place to dwell. And so Moses, they built a tabernacle, which was a mobile tent. And in the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, and this is where they said the presence of God lived. And this is where the presence of God dwelt. And so in Abraham's day, where was God? Well, God lived up. And so in Moses' day, God lived in a tent. And so, and then one time, later on, King David, he realized, hey, all of these other nations, they have these great permanent facilities for their God. And we have the God of all creation, so we should have a permanent facility for our God too. So he made plans to build a permanent temple, and actually his son Solomon finished it, but for the sake of illustration, we'll say that in David's day, God lived in a temple. So again, in Abraham's day, God lived up. And Moses' day, God lived in a tent, a mobile situation. In David's day, God lived in a permanent temple. Well, then in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in Jesus' day, God was he was the dwelling place. He was a representation of God at that place. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in Jesus' day, God lived in flesh in Jesus. So let's test you. Let's see if you remember. So in Abraham's day, God lived up. In Moses' day, God lived in a tent. In David's day, God lived in a temple. And in Jesus' day, God lived in flesh. Well, then the apostles and a lot of Paul's writing, they write about how now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are the dwelling place in which God dwells. So I would say it like this. Then in Paul's day, God chooses to live in all of us. So one more time. In Abraham's day, God lived up. Remember, he's a sun worshiping. He comes from a sun worshiping people. In Moses' day, God was said to have lived in a tent. In David's day, God lived in a temple. In Jesus' day, God lived in flesh. In Paul's day, in the early church era, in the church era we're even in now, God chooses to live in all of us. And so the power and presence of God then is not bound to a physical building, but believers now, we are the true temple of God. In other words, we are the dwelling place of God. And so let me show you some scriptures on this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are, look, temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with the price. You were by the blood of Jesus, and therefore honor God with your bodies." And what Paul's saying here, when he's saying, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, honor your bodies, what he is saying is that is don't keep on sinning. Don't keep having sin in your life, sin in your heart, because God lives there. So when you have a guest in your house, you want to get it cleaned up. You want to make sure it's right. Again, the Holy Spirit gives us power for righteous living because we are now the dwelling place of God. And so, he helps us remember week one with sanctification, cleaning us up inside. So don't you know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Now, these people would have always known that the temple was the place where God's presence was, or the tabernacle prior to that. So now Paul is starting a new shift, and he's saying, no, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the next verse. In Ephesians, it says, "And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So again, we are the dwelling place of God. He puts his Spirit in us. And let's look at Romans chapter 8, 11. It says, "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, look, is living in you." So the same Spirit, the same power that brought Jesus back to life 3 days after his crucifixion lives where? In you. So let me ask you a question. When did this change of God's dwelling move from a special place to a spiritual infilling? On the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost is where this shift happened. Now, it used to be when God's presence was said to have been in a tent or in a temple, it used to be that it was in a special place and only certain people could go in. And only certain people would prophesy. Only certain people could have said to have been moved and moving in the Spirit. But in this new covenant, in this new shift that took place on the day of Pentecost, God now chooses to put his Spirit in all of us. And so we are now the dwelling place of God. So here's a great thing. That God is closer than you think. It's not that God is he's up in the sky or God is in the tabernacle or God is in the temple and somehow I have to do all these right things to get to him. But God is saying, "I will come fill you. I will come fill you." And so that is when this change took place, is on the day of Pentecost when the believers experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now let me talk about the Spirit in the believer. So over the past three messages, we have tried to unpack the Holy Spirit of who he is, the three baptisms, and that the Holy Spirit is for power. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a gift for all believers.